Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
It's a Tamaki Makaurau based alternative popster who really incorporates quite a lot of texture and varies greatly genre to genre on a single song, even. Like on this new track, Hourglass, there's notes of dream pop, there's notes of indie stuff, there's lots going on. We have Alex Beattie, who is joining us from Tamaki Makaurau. Good morning to you, Alex. How are we?
Good morning, Zach. I'm good, thanks. Yeah, very good.
That's grand. How is Tamaki Makaurau treating you right now?
Yeah, it's treating me well. It's trucking along, you know.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any great food up there lately?
Oh, yeah, actually, I had, last night, I was at the Bear Spot in Morningside, and they have a little food truck there that does corn fritters.
Ooh.
It's pretty darn good.
It sounds pretty tasty. I don't really, the only thing I get FOMO from Auckland about, you know, the huge acts, the international acts who come your way, and the food. Aside from that, I'm pretty chill, eh?
Yeah.
No shade to Auckland. I've actually never been to Auckland before. Is there anything that you get FOMO from other New Zealand cities about?
Oh, I mean, I like that Dunedin everywhere is like 20 minutes away, max.
It's pretty
like,
based.
You can kind of just walk most places. Like, yeah.
It's pretty nuts. Have you spent any time down here?
Yeah. I've got some family down there, so... been there quite a few times, and it's just a really pretty city as well. Like Auckland, it's got its pretty spot, pretty parts, and it's pretty functional areas that maybe aren't as nice architecturally. So
yeah, not as aesthetic.
Yeah. So it's kind of nice, but you know, like especially in Dunedin and like the kind of town centre, you know, with all like the old churches and stuff and.
Yeah, it's pretty special.
Everything.
It's annoying. I live next to the botanical gardens here in Dunedin. I go through them every day. I've lost all their magic. You know, sometimes being around too much of a nice thing makes you complacent and
careless.
Anyway, there's an online life coach with the same name as you, Alex Beattie. Have people ever confused you for him when they reach out to you?
No, I've never had it happen yet that someone's like mixed me up with someone else, but. There's also a Love Island UK star from 2017 with my name as well. So my current goal for fame and success is to get more popular than that person that was on Love Island, so my name comes up first.
You could honestly market yourself. I mean, you could be a bit deceiving, but you could market yourself as that person and then be like, oh, I'm a different Alex. What are you talking about?
I'll be honest. I don't know how well that would work, just due to the fact that he is like a bodybuilder, like... You know, Pilates instructor type guy. And
you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, so maybe I'll hit the gym for a few years and then start pulling that trick.
Hell yeah. Now, the song Hourglass, I want to talk about the production. It's very lush with these super dreamy pianos and even dreamy guitar. It's got very crisp drum machines, and they all work to fit your very ethereal voice, which comes in and out of the instrumental haze. It sounds kind of like a track that's maybe about to intro another one or establish the world of your upcoming EP, Flutter. Where does it fit in the track list?
It's actually dead last. Yeah.
True. It also does give Closer vibes, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wanted it to come out kind of, you know, like as the second single, you know, first or second single, because I feel like that and... my previous single, Rainfalls, kind of like encapsulate the sound and like the kind of aesthetic direction for the EP. Because I think something I've kind of struggled with before is like, I'll make some songs and then I'll like, you know, I'll be like, I like this sound. Or like, I'm doing a funk thing and then I'll make some other stuff. And it's like, often it's easy to end up making stuff that sounds like something that's been done before. So I feel like a lot of these songs on this EP... they kind of feel like something new to me and like something kind of a bit more personal and original, I guess.
They're more Alex Beattie.
Yeah.
That's the vibe. I will say, though, there is there's a comedian I quite like called Mark Maron, and he says that, you know, there is a finite infinity pool. There's a finite reality pool that we're all kind of drawing from. So obviously there's going to be like stuff that sounds similar to other stuff, but if you can inject it with your own personality, that's the goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you handling the production on here?
Yeah. It's all me on this one. Been working more with other people and trying to get more voices and more ideas in the studio from other people. But a lot of the stuff I have out at the moment is just me sitting in a room.
I saw something that you used to be quite perfectionist, used to fret over the little things when it came to music production. Since studying music, though, and having deadlines, you've kind of streamlined your songwriting process. Has working with other people also kind of put your perfectionist sort of tendencies at ease?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I definitely like used to have a bit of a egotistical mindset of like making music. Like, I know what I want. I know how it's supposed to sound. So I'm the only one that can do that, you know. But I think like, yeah, just have, you know, being forced to work with other people for class and, you know, getting the opportunity to work with, you know, professionals and studios and or working with other people as a musician or as a recording engineer for other people kind of shows like it's pretty clear that the kind of magic that happens in a studio where you go, oh, this idea would be cool, and or you know, and you're kind of bouncing ideas off each other, like that kind of stuff ends up leading to pretty cool musical outcomes. And I think I was probably a bit short-sighted before, just focused on like, I can hear it in my head, so I'm gonna do it.
But that's a good lesson to learn early, though. I mean, I'm sure there are musicians in their 50s who probably still think that.
yeah, it's an easy trap to fall into.
It is,
especially with, you know, how many things you can do yourself these days. You know, music technology is pretty easy to come by compared to even 10 years ago. You know,
It's nuts.
Yeah, we're very spoiled.
Super
as an industry.
I was going to say, about working by yourself. Yes, no, it's good to have people around because you can have discourse about what things should sound like. I think with discourse and dialogue, so many more options open up that you wouldn't even be aware of because, you're just like, you don't have any other frame of reference.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there's so many times when I'm, like, working with other people where I go, like, I know what I would do here. Like, for instance, like, I'd know what bass line I'd play, and then my friend Max, who plays bass in my band, Max Hill from Slow Rage, they'll like lay down a completely different idea that ends up working better than what I would have originally thought. And so it's like, even if you're not necessarily communicating about it, just hearing someone else come up with something that you wouldn't have come up with that ends up being better than what you would have come up with, it goes, yeah, other people know what they're doing too. Like, I need to like back off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, people have everyone comes to any kind of creative process with their own experiences, and it's good to have that discourse, that kind of dialogue, that experience. Your voice changes from being floaty and quite high pitched at the start, and then solidifies a bit more around the 2 minute mark on this thing. It's a very, very lovely singing voice, and I gotta ask, is James Blake an influence here?
A little bit. I feel like I've listened to more stuff that like James Blake has touched rather than his like actual personal discography, like big Frank Ocean fan, but a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, true. I'm a massive James Blake fan, so maybe that was just me reading into things.
I've been meaning to listen to more James Blake. He's like on my list of like people I need to spend more time with.
Yeah, he's incredible, especially when you go through a breakup. Not that I'm going through one right now, but when I first discovered him going through a breakup, it was a absolute treasure to find.
Yeah,
it was awesome. Now you've got an upcoming EP, Flutter, which I mentioned earlier, and it's centered on the experience of the Auckland floods. Where were you when they hit, and how did they affect you?
I was making pizza. I used to work at Sal's Pizza.
True.
Just like 5 minutes down the road from my house, and I was like, you know, in the back making pizza, and orders were like piling up and no one was coming to pick them up. At one point we had like 15 pizzas, just like we'd put them on top of the like pizza oven to keep them warm for when people pick them up. And yeah, we had like 15 up there. And about 2 hours with no one coming in to pick up their orders, because I'm pretty sure the whole street, like you could only get in through one way, and it was like something like a foot of water to get in or out of that kind of area.
Whoa.
So we actually had one guy who like downloaded the Uber app like Uber Eats, and took his like lifted ute and just delivered all these like orders to people. I mean, it cleared up a little bit by that time, but yeah, this guy saw the opportunity to like do Uber Eats in his like lifted ute because he could actually drive through most of the floods that other people couldn't.
Oh my god, that's nuts. That's, you know, a little capitalist in action.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. That's awesome. I was gonna say, you didn't happen to eat any of the pizzas. You just
I don't know. I think we some of them, because they were sitting up on the oven for like 3-4 hours, they ended up just drying out. So I probably had a little bit of dry pizza when we remade their orders.
Dry pizza is better than no pizza, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But
that's logic right there.
But they're pretty chill at Sal's, so
yeah.
You know, if you're on your break, you can.
How did the floods come to affect you in general? Was it quite a shocking sort of, I don't know, a rude awakening, so to speak, of the power of Mother Nature?
Yeah, yeah. And I think just it was kind of almost like, in a way, kind of funny. It's like, I mean, you know, it caused so much, like so many terrible things for so many terrible people. It cost so many people, you know, huge amounts of money. Like some people lost their houses. Mm. You know, even I think one or two ended up dying. But it was just kind of interesting. Like I almost found the aftermath of it more interesting because like the Auckland Council kind of realized that they should have like been a bit more on top of it, like should have given out more warning. And then for pretty much for the next like year, we'd get little like alerts on our phone anytime it drizzled, just being like, yo, it might flood again, guys.
Don't blame us again, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
We're helping you in this.
Yeah, I knew some people that, like, couldn't get home. I had a friend that was... He actually came to my house because he lived up kind of more rurally, and his road had been completely blocked off, so he was going to stay the night, but I think they eventually cleared up the stuff from the road, and I knew... His girlfriend actually, her family couldn't get home because in order to get home, they had like a little, one of those little one-way bridges.
Mm.
And it just completely I can't remember if it was like completely blocked or like collapsed or something, but basically their one route home
was unavailable to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
So it was just lots of like really interesting, different stories for each people. The rest of my family, when I was working, they went to the Elton John concert that was on that night. And due to the way concert like insurance or payouts work, like you have to be there by the time the gig's supposed to start. And if you cancel before then, like you don't get paid or something like that. So basically, these like tens of thousands of people all piled into the stadium as it was like pouring with rain. And then I think it got like a couple minutes after the gig was supposed to start, and that's when they told people that it was cancelled and they need to go home. But it was absolute chaos. You know, they shut the harbour bridge. So many roads were like, you literally just couldn't drive on them because they were full with water. Like, you know, my parents ended up kind of almost entering a bit of fight or flight mode. Like my dad was like, oh yeah, we'll go down this road. And my mom was like, I will get out of this car if you go down this road. And as it turns out, his friend drove down that road and his car got totaled because it just, it literally floated out. So
nuts.
Yeah, yeah. I think it took them like 4 hours to get home or something, 3-4 hours.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so brutal.
That's not just Auckland traffic. Like, that's like having to
do Auckland traffic and a flood at the same time.
Yeah, yeah,
gosh,
yeah.
Gosh, absolute nightmare, blunt rotation.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's just, I feel like it's just a very interesting thing with kind of lots of different little things going on, each person having a kind of different experience of that, even if they're not directly affected. Like, yeah, it's just something I've not really seen before, so I thought that it's quite interesting.
For sure, and I think it's like, you know, with the internet coming to town, we've all got different algorithms, we all have different personal, individualized experiences nowadays. I feel like something like that is something that unites people and they have a collective memory of something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But it's it's kind of interesting because there's that kind of like collective memory, like, you know, all the like, you know, the stuff you see on the news, getting all the phone alerts. Like the flood had happened for like a few hours before we finally got an alert saying on our phones, guys, it might be flooding. So you know, I think anyone could either turn on the news or look outside and go, yeah, it's a bit crazy.
It's a little bit wet. Guys, some light rain.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. The EP also deals with themes of transitioning from high school to the real world, in your words. Is that is that an experience that you think you were ready at all for, or was that quite a jarring, again, another rude awakening?
I thought I was ready until it actually, like, happened. I don't know. It's just such a big kind of lifestyle change from, like, you know, driving to school every day to, like, just the difference between, like, catching the bus every day. Like, I caught the bus, at, you know, a few days a week and stuff, but once I got my restricted and got my own car, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Like, but the local buses were, around that time, like, around post-COVID, the buses were terrible, just, like, so going from that to being in the CBD so frequently and having to kind of learn quite a different way of life and
make your own choices as well. It's completely up to you.
Yeah, you
know, independence is terrifying.
Yeah, and like kind of going from a bit more kind of structured, simple, to like very chaotic at times and quite free flowing. You know, but it's also been like amazing meeting so many like-minded people because. You know, I like we had quite a bit of music stuff at my high school, but there weren't really many, if any, kind of people in the same boat that were like wanting to study music, or, you know, writing songs, those sorts of things. You know, there was one or two people that I was kind of friends with that were in that boat, but it's kind of nice to be surrounded by dozens, if not hundreds, of people that are in that boat and. Getting to work with them and getting to play gigs with them and yeah, so that sort of thing has been really cool. But yeah, it's just a big complete shift in how everything works day to day. So
totally. I very much agree with you about, you know, finding your own people, your own tribe at university. It's so nuts. You could never think like you never thought of it like happening, you know. I mean, I'm from Invercargill and I felt I was quite. No one was into the music that I was into or the films that I was into or anything like that. And I had friends. But then coming to university, you really have, you know, new friends who are on a similar wavelength, you know. And that's such a powerful feeling.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's mean. Can you reveal any more details about Flutter, like when it might be coming out? If you have a tour planned?
So I don't have any dates for anything that I can, like, announce, but it'll be coming out this year, and there's one more single to come out that will be out sometime in the next 2 months or so, but I'm just working out the fine details of that and then hopefully doing some kind of tour as well. Yeah, would love to be able to see the country and play music around a few places, but yeah, just kind of in the emailing everyone, sorting out dates, organizing stuff stage at the moment for all that.
Bit of admin.
Yeah. That's the best part about music is the admin.
Doing
stuff.
The admin. That's the best part about life. You know, I love doing admin so much. Can we maybe expect you to come to Otsipoti? I mean, you're saying before in the program, you love it down here.
I'd love to. I think, I mean, there's so many amazing musicians that come from Dunedin. I mean, my family down there, like, I have a cousin down in Dunedin who studied music, and yeah, there's a lot of great musicians. I think for like a city with a population as small as Dunedin, the like output per capita is pretty crazy.
It's pretty nuts compared to like I think we're the same size as Tauranga, and there's, you know, the Tauranga sound isn't a thing. No shade to Tauranga.
Oh yeah, no, I wasn't gonna add anything.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Alex. I really appreciate your time. Do you have any lovely words of wisdom or remarks to leave our listeners with?
I don't know. I'm not a very wise man. But yeah, no, thank you so much.
That's a wise statement right there. That's a wise statement right there.
Maybe. You might be right there. Yeah, no, thanks so much for having me, man. It's been, yeah, really great talking.
Of course. No stress. And can't wait to hear the EP when it comes out.
Cheers.
It's going to be fun. Thanks so much, Zach. Take care, man. That was Alex Beattie. We're talking to Alex about his latest track, Hourglass. Hourglasses, sorry, plural, hourglasses. We're going to have some news updates around 10:50-ish, but we're going to play a few tunes now. Here's Alex Beattie with Hourglasses. You are listening to The One. Keep it locked.
Seebs, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.